Although many of us strive to be the best dad we can be, many physicians struggle with finding balance between their life at home and their life at work. This is the Imperfect Dad MD podcast, the show where we discuss topics involving our minds, bodies, beliefs, relationships at home, and upping our game with our business practices and financial knowledge to better improve our role as dad in the lives of those around us. I'm your host, Dr. Jeremy Toffel, physician, husband, father to two boys, and self-proclaimed imperfect dad. Join me as I learn to raise my own imperfections within all these topics. Now, let's get to today's discussion. This is the Imperfect Dad MD podcast. I am your host, Dr. Jeremy Toffel, and today's episode, I want to talk a little bit about how to help your child with adversity. But first, before we get into that, I just want to remind you, this week's show is brought to you by Dr. Jordan Fry at the Prudent Plastic Surgeon. His course, Graduating to Success, is opening, but it's just for a short time. It's open. It's going to be open between, actually, a couple days ago, February 21st. So if you missed that on the last episode, February 21st through March 1st. So this is only open for a little over a week now. And this is a series that helps really physicians really kind of improve their success in terms of financial success, things you want to do with your work, with your life, with your job. So it includes a ton of things in there. And if you are somebody who has been, you know, struggling with figuring out where to go to next or what to do, either financially or with your career, this is a really great course to look at. And so I'm going to leave a link for that in the show notes. Please go check that out and let me know what you think about it if you end up doing it, as I'd love to hear feedback on those types of things as well. So dealing with adversity. I talked a little bit about that the last few episodes with the whole COVID situation. I will not get back into that. I think I've beaten the horse there a little bit too much. So we will not be talking about that today. But the reason I want to talk about helping our kids deal with adversity is, you know, so much of our kids are in all these extracurricular activities and sports and programs, and we all want to see our kids succeed, right? We all want to see our kids do well in them, but sometimes they don't do well, or sometimes they almost get there and then they don't. And then you have to figure out, okay, how am I going to spin this to make it a positive for my child? Because you don't want to ever make that stuff a negative. You want to find a way to spin it to help encourage them to do better or just to keep going with things. Because sometimes kids just give up. And the reason I want to talk about this is because, you know, Winter Olympics have been going on this year. And the big story, no matter what else has been going on, it seems like in the Olympics, has been the Russians, because it's always the Russians doing something. And I'm not talking about them invading Ukraine. I'm talking about the Russian Olympic Committee and specifically their female figure skaters. And if you're not sure what I'm talking about, if you're not an Olympic person or you just ignore this completely, the Russian Olympic Committee, which I still don't fully understand. I feel like if a country's been, you know, suspended or banned or whatever for a set amount of years, they shouldn't have anybody from their country. But if you do have somebody from your country in some apparent Olympic committee, I feel like they'd be under much higher scrutiny and testing. Apparently, that's not how things fly either, because what happened is one of their skaters, and I'm not going to say their names because I literally don't know if I'd say them right, and I don't want to offend anybody who's maybe of that heritage, but their younger skater, who's 15, who is this phenom in terms of skating, like basically is going to potentially be the best skater to ever kind of walk the earth for female skaters, tested positive for a banned substance. Now, this test was done back in December, but it turns out she tested positive for this. And so there's a lot of scrutiny. Should she be allowed to skate? Should she be allowed to do this or do that? And they decided, well, while the investigation's going on, we're going to let her skate. And there was a lot of, of course, problems with this. A lot of people argued it. A lot of people within the Olympics, different countries, especially America, of course, argued how this person should not be allowed to skate because they tested positive for a banned substance. Now, so much of it was focused on the skater. And I feel like as the weeks went on, they finally started focusing more on the adults who were taking care of the skater, but so much pressure was put on the skater about the situation. Anytime she was in a news conference or somebody was talking about the news, it wasn't about, hey, what do you think about your next skate? It was, let's talk about this problem. And she kind of got left out there to dry. Like, nobody really helped this kid out. And we have to remember, she is a kid. She's not old enough to drive in the United States, let alone be able to answer, you know, these huge questions that represent herself, her country, her sport. I mean, she's 15 and she's basically the ambassador for female figure skating right now. And now it's, hey, you've been tested positive for this substance. Now, we don't know the situation there. We don't know if she knew she was getting a drug that was helping her. We don't know if her coaches gave it to her, telling her, no, it's okay. This is all right. You're allowed to have this. We have no idea. But of course, this brought a lot of scrutiny into the sport. Well, the female figure skating competition came. They did their short programs. And of course, the Russians were in the lead with one of the Japanese skaters up there around third, I think it was. And then it was time for the freestyle skating. And the skater, who is 15 and who should have probably walked away easily with a gold medal, fell multiple times. Like, really just kind of bombed her freestyle. Now, even though she bombed it, she still got fourth place, but she did not get a medal. So let's remember that. Fourth place didn't get a medal. Third place, the Japanese skater got it. She finished and she was not planning on getting a medal. Like, she was like, it's going to be Russia, 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 then me. This kind of stinks, but I'm going to give it my all. Well, she gave it her all. She got a bronze. So very cool. And then the top two skaters were Russian female skaters. Now, these Russian female skaters were also teammates of the 15-year-old. And one has to question, could something have happened with these skaters as well and it just didn't get picked up? It's a possibility. I mean, let's be honest. I doubt they're probably doping one of their skaters. I'm sure it's part of their program. And maybe she just happened to be the unlucky one that tested positive. But be that as it may, skating is done. We know the order of skaters. And what do we see happen on the TV? Well, the 15-year-old who fell multiple times, and again, who knows if it's just the pressure got to her, who knows if she just threw the skate so that it wouldn't be, you know, so focused on and she wouldn't be up on the podium, and she decided that, you know what, I'm not going to try to get a medal for this because I don't want it to be more drama. I don't know. Who knows what happened in that case? My guess is she's 15 and just the pressure got to her, but what happened? The coaches, instead of like consoling her and be like, hey, we understand this is, you know, a hard time for you, it was, why did you give up? Why did you just stop trying? Like, that's what we are told was the interpretation of the Russian coach to her after she got off the ice for that program. And of course, she was sad. She was crying. She was tearful. And all the coaches are around her talking to her. The skater, who was 15, probably should not have been skating, was forced to deal with all this media scrutiny. And now she has struggled on a skate that she's probably done hundreds of times and didn't medal. So now that's the story. She didn't medal. But let's look at the other skaters. Second place skater is a Russian. Very strong technical skater. She did like 5 quad spins or something like that. I don't know. I don't know figure skating. My wife loves it, so I watched it with her. But she did all this very strong technical stuff. So she got a very high technical score, but she was not artistic, right? So she did it, but she didn't have any flair. She didn't have any passion. It was very much just, I'm going to go out there and do all the tricks, but not all the show. And show matters in figure skating. You get scores. So what happened? She got a very high technical score, but a very low artistry score. And she was angry. She was mad. Now, at first, it made it seem like that she was upset about the whole situation. You know, when you see how this thing unfolds, you think she's upset because her friend or teammate who's 15 just failed and struggled, and there's all this pressure and drama, and the whole time she's saying, no, I'm not going to go up on the podium. I'm not going to go up there. I'm not going to do this. And you're thinking in your head, oh man, she's worried about her teammate. Like, that's pretty, you know, how much they're going through. That's got to be so hard to see your teammate go through that. I have respect for that. Well, that's not what it was. She was mad because she felt like she deserved the gold medal. She was mad because she did all this technical stuff and basically, screw the artistry. I did the hard stuff. I should have gotten that gold. That's what she was upset about. And instead of being gracious and happy about winning a silver medal, she wanted to refuse it. She wanted to give up figure skating. And then you have the gold medal Russian winner. She seemed pretty chill. She kind of had to, because when she was sitting on the couch by herself, nobody came to congratulate her. Her teammates, her coaches, she sat there. Scores were in, she had a gold medal, and nobody came to show her support. But then you look at that Japanese skater. She got a bronze medal. She didn't get silver. She didn't get gold. She got a medal. And she was beyond thankful. Her team was there. Her supporters were there. Her coaches were there. And they were all celebrating with her. everybody. You could see her, she had her phone out, probably calling her friends or her family, you know, to celebrate about it. That was a moment that you see a team who takes care of their person, a team that takes care of their skater and gives them the support they need to deal with struggle and celebrate success. But what did we see from the Russian side? The girls were not built to deal with adversity, nor were those coaches built to help them handle adversity. And none of those coaches were there to show positive support for the skater who probably wasn't meant to get a gold. She was probably meant to get silver or bronze, right? This was probably all planned in their heads. Well, this 15-year-old is going to get the gold. Well, maybe the technical one's going to get that silver, and then this other one's going to get bronze. That was probably their plan. That was probably the plan in place. But it didn't go the way they planned. And instead of celebrating it, they tried to figure out how to deal with the dumpster fire that was what they created and showed absolutely no support to their skaters in any way that they should have. And really, it's because they didn't prepare them for this adversity. And they all had different forms of adversity. You had one who had all this media scrutiny. You had one who was basically acting like a spoiled brat and decided she should have had gold instead of silver and was pouting about not having it. And then you had the silent gold medal winner with no support. So you have three very different situations, and their coaches who are paid to take care of these kids failed on all three fronts. So what does that mean with our children? I mean, let's get out of this for a minute. I just spent 10 minutes talking about Russian Olympic skaters. Why am I doing this? Because I think it's important that we look at this and we try to learn from it. We try to learn from how should we help our kids deal with adversity in different ways of life. And again, a lot of it's based on sports. You know, last summer, I posted a blog post and it was basically our older son who was just finishing up swimming for his previous swim team was swimming in the finals. He was, you know, he had just turned 8 earlier that year, and he was swimming in the finals, and he was getting to swim the 25 breast finals. And he swam against another kid who was also a very fast swimmer. They both swam. It was a very close race. And if you look at the picture, our son touches the wall before the other kid by about a half a second. But at that time, it wasn't a competitive league, I guess you'd say. And so the timers, there was no timer like pad that you push on the wall. It was just the parents assisting on the sideline. And what happened? Well, the kid who actually got second was given the faster time. And even though we had picture and video evidence of our son winning, they did not take that. They weren't allowed to use that as evidence for a win. And so we had to help our son understand, like, bud, you won the race, but you didn't win the race. And trying to teach an 8-year-old that lesson was not easy, but we did it very calmly. We expressed to him, I know it stinks. Like, life is not always fair, and you can do everything right and still doesn't always work out the way you want to. And you got to understand that that's how life is. And so that was a long lesson for him. And we had a similar situation happen recently. You know, he just turned 9 at the end of January, and he's now swimming in the 10 and under swimming groups, and states are coming up in March. He just missed out on the 8 and under states because he turned 9 too soon. And his breaststroke is his strongest stroke, and he swims the 50 and the 100 breast. Well, he missed the cutoff for states on the 100 breast by 0.3 seconds. That's like, you know, pushing just a little bit harder on a push-off or something like that. So he's so close to getting that. But he made the time for the 50 breast by 1/100 of a second, just barely got the cutoff, like incredible, celebrated all this stuff. I wasn't there. My wife had taken him. And so he came home. He was happy about it. Very joyful. Well, we find out later that night, they ended up disqualifying him. This was hours after the meet because they said he didn't touch with both hands right at the same time on the turn on the 50 breast. And if you don't know swimming, when you're doing a breaststroke and then you go to do a turn to do another lap, both hands have to touch at the exact same time. Well, that wasn't voiced to anybody at the meet. His time was up there for hours, and then it came out later. So how do you tell a 9-year-old who now feels that he won something or made it to states, you know, a success, like this was something that he wasn't supposed to be able to do and he got it, how are you going to tell him that, sorry, dude, you actually didn't get it? And that was a hard conversation again. But it was not a conversation we avoided. We decided how we wanted to approach it. We decided how we wanted to talk about it with them. And it was a very much trying to be as positive as possible about it. It wasn't a, dude, how did you mess up on that? It wasn't a, dude, how didn't you swim faster on that 100? It was Gavin, who was our older son's name. He said, Gavin, you worked so hard and you got that time. It stinks because they're saying that you disqualified, but don't worry about that. Because when they're saying you missed that touch, we're talking about you missed that touch by like an inch. Like your right hand barely missed compared to your left. And what stinks, but those are the rules. But here's the deal. You now know that you're fast enough. You're fast enough to swim that 50. You're basically fast enough to swim that 100. And you have one more chance to do it. So he's got one more meet coming up to maybe make states. But here's the thing. Did we say, hey, you're fast enough, so you're totally going to make it next time? No, we didn't say that. Because what does that do? That sets him up for feeling like he's a failure if he doesn't get it. Right? And that's not what we want. It is, hey, you are fast enough to do this. And there are going to be days when you swim fast enough and days that you don't. And the only thing you can do in life is your best. And some days it's going to be enough and some days it's not. But right now you know that you're fast enough. And that's all that matters, is that you know that you can do it. And we just kind of drilled that into him. And lots of positive praise, a lot of positive focus. Hey, I'm so proud of you. Look how much you've gotten better from the beginning of this year to now. You know, a lot of that, because what am I doing there? I'm trying to build him up. I don't care if my 9-year-old son wins a state meet at 9. That's not, I mean, to be honest, that's not very helpful for him. Because if he does, he's expected to win these meets every time. And if he doesn't, he gets burnt out. And again, if you look at those Russian skaters, you had the 15-year-old who knows what she's going to do with her skating life. The girl who got second place, who's decided that she wants to quit skating because she didn't get a gold medal. So she's burnt out, obviously. And who knows what that gold skater is going to do. If she's going to stick with this or be like, wow, my coaches could care less if I won. Who knows? But that's what you got to do with your kids, is you need to set them up on the dealing with, how do you think about adversity? How do you think about the situation? And I'm going to help you through this. Because let's be honest, our kids are not mentally prepared to deal with adversity. They don't have the toolbox. They don't have the life experiences to figure out how to go take a negative and make a positive. And that's our job as parents, is to help them learn that. You know, it's not uncommon to see parents in sports who degrade their children when they don't succeed to the parents' expectation. I mean, you see it in competitive sports all the time. Doesn't matter what league it is, doesn't matter the type of sport, you will always see at least one of those parents on a team who will put their kid down if they're not succeeding at the way that they feel like they should. And all you're doing there is you're teaching your kid to not want to fail. You're not teaching your child how to take a negative and turn it into a positive. And I know people are competitive. I mean, I live in Nebraska. Baseball, football, wrestling, those are the big things out here. I mean, there's tennis, there's all the other stuff too, but I get it. I get people want to put their kids in these advanced sports and everything, but what are we teaching them? We're teaching them that you're expected to do the best, and if you don't do your best, you're failing. And then your kid feels like, well, they're failing, and it just doesn't go well. So think about that. Think about when you're working with your kid and dealing with adversity, because it's going to be there. Your kid's not going to win every event. They're not going to strike out every batter. They're not going to make every free throw. They're not going to be the starting quarterback all the time. How are you going to help them deal with that? It's great to celebrate the positives. It's great to celebrate when something great happens. But then how are you going to deal with the negatives when they happen? But do remember to celebrate the positives and celebrate that hard work. Don't let your child be that gold medal skater that's sitting there and nobody's coming to celebrate with her. Be the parent that celebrates the victories. And when there is defeat, or there is, if you want to call it failure, because we embrace failure here, we embrace imperfection, we don't think failure is a bad thing, right? But when your kid is put into that, be the parent that uses that as a way to teach, not as a way to put your child down, or not as a way to tell your child that they're meeting your specific expectations. It may not be their expectations, they're your expectations. So think about that. So that's what I got. let me know what you think about it. You know, I've done talks like this before about sports and kids and burnout and things like that. And this is, it kind of relates, but adversity is such a big thing. And it's such a big thing that we all deal with in life. And right, and you know, sports and kids is such a huge thing, because sports don't just teach our kids to be healthy and athletic. They teach teamwork, they teach hard work, but they teach you how to deal with adversity. Be a part of that for your kids and help them learn from it. Sports are a wonderful thing. And that's what I feel like we need to be doing as parents. So let me know what you think. Email me at imperfectdadmd@gmail.com if you so wish to, or you can go to the website, www.imperfectdadmd.com, and let me know what you think there. Again, remember, Jordan Fry, Pruden Plastic Surgeon, is having his Graduating to Success course that is out now and is open until March 1st. So if that is something that interests you, please go check that site out and get into it, because I'd hate for you to miss it, because he doesn't open it very often. So there will be a link for that in the show notes as well. Otherwise, I hope all of you are staying healthy, staying safe. Let me know what your favorite Olympic sport is in the winter. We all have favorites. Our son just got into hockey and he's enjoying that. But let me know. Let me know what you guys think. And we will see you next time.
My dad, Dr. Jeremy Toffel, is a pediatrician, father, and husband. The information provided in this podcast is not meant to be medical advice and is for your education and entertainment only.